Welcome to The Heart Zone, a podcast ministry of Kernsville Christian Church, featuring the teaching ministry of George Cannon. For more information about Kernsville Christian Church, visit us on the web at www.kernsvillechristian.org. And now, for a message from The Heart Zone, here's George.
All right, guys, I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark the 6th chapter. Now, we're getting close to the midpoint in our gospel here, and we've been looking at the life of Jesus from the perspective of Mark, or he's also known as John Mark. And the reality is that we've seen a lot of different things about Jesus. We've seen his compassion, we've seen his willingness to be there for people, and then we've seen the people. I mean, and they are excited about Jesus. They're all looking for Jesus to do something for them, and they're just swamping him. We've also seen opposition. We've seen people who don't really care for Jesus, and they're opposed to him and everything that he believes. Now, this is going to continue on today, where we're going to get into another, mentioned in all of the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. And so we're going to see some things that come out of this passage. Specifically, we're going to look at three different things. We're going to look at the crowd, which, yeah, the crowd's always looking for Jesus. And then we're looking at Jesus himself. We're going to see some things which I think are very important for you and I to understand. But then we're also going to see the miracle, the feeding, and why that is so significant. And it's significant for you and I with the things that we face. So let's take a look at this together. If you want, let's read the passage. If you want, you can read it in your Bibles. So we're going to start with verse 30. Now you're saying, George, we didn't end with verse 29 the last time. Well, what follows in verse 14 through 29 is the story of the death of John the Baptist. There isn't really anything to share with you there. I would encourage you to read that on your own. But let's look at verse 30. Here is what I want you to see. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many are coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." They went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw the great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour now is late. Send them away to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass, so that when they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000. All right, so let's bring us up to speed. Where are we at? If you remember, in the passage we looked at last week, Jesus sent out the 12 to do ministry. Well, they're back now. And when we start verse 30, what we see is the reality that they're back and they want to meet with Jesus. Now, Jesus is saying to them, okay, guys, if you look there, he says, let's come away and get by ourselves. And it explains why, because they've had so many people come to them, it says they had no leisure even to eat. Now, what does that mean? Modern way of saying that is they didn't even have time to eat anything. People are just pressing them. Stuff is going on. You ever been like that? You've been so busy, you didn't even have time to even get a cracker. You know what I'm saying? You didn't even have time to get something to drink. You're just busy. That's where they're at. So let's talk about the crowd here first. Now, there's some things that we need to realize. I want you to understand, not everybody who comes to Jesus is coming just for Jesus. Does everybody understand that? Do I need to repeat that statement? Not everybody who's coming to Jesus is coming just for Jesus. They're actually coming, can we say it, for what Jesus can do. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're actually coming because they heard he's the miracle worker. By this time, the reputation has gotten out about Jesus. He can heal the sick. He can cast demons out of people. We've now even gotten to the place where people are hearing that he can even, are you ready, raise the dead. That he can do anything, that he is the miracle worker. So guess what? If you've got a problem and you hear Jesus is in the area, what do you do? Stay at home? No, you get up and you go and you look for him. And it's not because they need Jesus or they want Jesus, it's what Jesus can do for them. So a couple things I want you to see about the crowd. First of all, the number of people seeking Jesus was overwhelming. The number of people seeking Jesus was overwhelming. Well, isn't that a good thing, George? Well, again, let me remind you, a crowd isn't necessarily a good thing because everybody in the crowd isn't there for the same reason. They're not there for Jesus and who he is and what he stands for and what he wants. They're there for what Jesus can do for him or them. This is the thing. So the number of people, it became overwhelming to the point where Jesus had to say to them, hey guys, we've got to go away somewhere desolate, meaning not anywhere near around here. Let's just go where we can drop off the face of the earth. I mean, I had that realization last night. My wife went and spent some time with her best friend from childhood, and they went north beyond where Denny and Rhonda live. And when you get up there, there is no signal. It is a dead zone up there. So she goes off the grid, literally. And guess who's at home with questions? Me. Guess who's texting that go unanswered? Me. Why? Because she went to a desolate place, okay? She went to a desolate place to get away. From who? Me. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay? From me. So she went there. They went there. Why? Because the numbers are overwhelming. Here's the second thing I want you to see about the crowd. Okay? The crowd pursued Jesus to meet their needs. That's the only reason why they were there. You know, I've been a believer now 41 years. I've been in pastoral ministry now over 30. And I'd like to say that everybody comes to Jesus because they're looking for Jesus. But I've grown to the realization that's not true. Not everybody comes to Jesus because they want Jesus. They come to Jesus because they want Jesus to do something for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when Jesus does it for them, they don't necessarily stay. They move on. Or if Jesus doesn't do that for them, they move on. They've tried that Jesus thing. It doesn't work. The reality is, can I be honest with you? These folks were seeking after Jesus because of what he can do. But you say, what do you mean they didn't hang with him? They didn't stick with him? Because later on in this book, they're presented with Jesus and Barabbas. And Pilate says to them, who do you want? I'll give them who you want. And they asked for Barabbas, not for Jesus. because they think Barabbas is going to give them what they want, ultimately freedom from who? Rome, right? See, this is the reality. God knows this. How do you know he knows this? Because when we look at the next few verses, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see his interaction with them. And this is what, can I be honest with you? It's easy for us to get cynical, right? You ever become cynical? So, sometimes I like to say, people, I have a big C on my forehead. I'm a cynic. That comes with life and dealing with people, and you become cynical. But the problem is Jesus isn't cynical because he knows men. So I want you to notice with me, verse 34, just one verse, got two things that come out of this. Two things that are so important for you and I to grasp with reality to Jesus and you. Here it is. Look what verse 34 says. When he went ashore, that's talking about Jesus, when he went ashore, he saw the great crowd and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Notice what else it says. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Two things I want you to see here. Two things that are important for you and I. Okay? Notice what the passage didn't say. It didn't say he came ashore and saw them and he knew what their true condition was, meaning they were only there for something. No, he looked at them even with their mixed motives, and he had what? This is Jesus. He had compassion on them. This is what I want you to see. Jesus had compassion for the people. So I want you to think about that. When he's looking at this great crowd, he's got all these people that are pressing him. They're bringing their sick loved ones. They're bringing their demon-possessed loved ones. Who knows what else they're bringing to him? They're bringing all of these people. Jesus knows everything about them. Jesus knows what's going on. And his heart breaks for them. Even though he knows that the person who's coming to him, maybe with a sick child, is not really caring about who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do or who he even is only concerned about, can you heal my child? He still has compassion for the guy. He still cares for them. He's not a cynic. He still has compassion. Now, what's the implication for you and I? Because here's the thing. Sometimes we get to the place where stuff is going on in our life. The world is crumbling around us. And we're sitting there thinking, God, do you even care what's going on in my life? I feel like there's nothing but silence. Are you even there? I'm telling you right now. He has compassion for you. He does care. He does care. Even though he knows what your motives are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because let's be honest, some of the things that we pray, our motives aren't necessarily right, are they? Even some of the things that we pray and we desperately need him to do and to take care of, he's very much aware of what's motivating us. But he still cares. He still has compassion. This is the thing we need to recognize, because that ain't human. That's not human, because the rest of us, we get cynical. Here's the other thing. It's not just that he had compassion for him. If this didn't follow up, we'd say, oh, isn't Jesus a nice guy? Here's why he's even more awesome than that. Look at what the next point is. He understood their true need. He understood what the real issue was. And look at what the text says. They were like sheep without a what? Shepherd. Now, I've always found it interesting that when the scripture refers to us, it uses an animal to describe us. And it's never a lion. It's not even an elephant. It's sheep. One of the dumbest farm animals around. Literally. And sheep need always someone to what? Guide them somewhere. Watch over them. Protect them. And that's how he describes humanity. He looks at them like sheep who don't have a shepherd. If you don't have a shepherd, you're just kind of wandering wherever. Oh, look over there. That piece of weed over there looks nice. I'll go over and eat it. Who cares that there's jackals and lions in between? But that grass looks good. Let's go eat it. Oh, it's just hanging off the edge of the ledge there, and I could fall off. Do you see what I'm saying? He understands our true need. Because let's be honest. Sometimes, can I be honest with you? And this is where Jesus is at. Sometimes the thing that we think is the need really isn't the need. I mean, it's a need, but it's not the need. Because sometimes beneath the need is an even bigger need. It's just a symptom to the greater need. And that is, we are like sheep without a shepherd. We have no direction in our lives. Well, we say, oh, I've got myself. I can figure it out. Yeah, how are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? I just turned 60, and I can tell you, I can look back to when I thought I had it together enough to guide it into the right decisions, and I always end up crashing and burning. Big time. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm not that smart enough. And I don't have enough resources to do it. And sometimes there are things in life that we cannot handle. Right? But I'm assuming I can. I'm like a sheep without a shepherd, right? But thankfully we do have a shepherd, right? That's the Lord Jesus to guide us. And this is what I want you to see. This is so wonderful. Yeah, the crowd, they're overwhelming him. The crowd's just there to meet his need, for him to meet their need, and then they'll go on. But the fact is he understands what's going on. And here's the thing. He's compassionate. He has compassion for them. And he knows what their real need is. He knows what your real need is. Right now. So that brings us to the miracle, the feeding. This is something that is amazing and really leads to why I called this the prophet revealed. Because what Jesus is about to do isn't just that he wants to feed everybody. He's doing something that has roots all the way back to Moses. Because remember Moses, when he took them out of Egypt and they wandered for 40 years in the desert, the people, millions of people there, are longing for what? Food, something to eat. And so Moses, God through Moses, provided what for them? Manna from heaven, right? Every morning, 6 days a week, they were to go and collect what they needed for that day. And then the reality is, Moses said, somebody greater than me is coming. So here they are, they're all about meeting their real needs, but then right before them is somebody who's even more greater than they realize, and they don't even know it. So let's look at it. Four things I want to show you about the feeding, okay? Four things. First of all, the crowd's immediate need seems overwhelming. I want you to think about it for a moment. They're in a desolate place off of the lake. There's not anywhere nearby. There's not McDonald's. There's not even Arby's or Burger King. There's not Dunkin'. There's nothing. There's no Walmart. No Aldi's. We know what that's like, right? There's nothing. And there are 5,000 men there. Who knows how many women and children are there as well. And it gets late, and it's time to what? Eat. So Jesus says, you feed them. Well, first of all, they're like, send them to the surrounding villages. Well, where's that? Okay, because they're going to be exasperated and not doing well by the time they get to wherever the surrounding villages are. Jesus says, you feed them. Well, they're like, Lord, it would take 200 denarii of money to feed this many people. Now, let me explain to you what a denarii is. A denarii was a day's wage. So it would be the wage that somebody would receive for a day's work. So when he says it's 200 denarii, it's 200 days of wages. So think about that for a moment. That's almost two-thirds of your salary for a year, right? And they're saying, one of the other Gospels makes the point, that's not even enough to feed them. And then Jesus says, well, what do you have? And of course, Mark doesn't bring it out that it was a little boy who had his lunch with him, who had loaves and two fish, which, by the way, they were barley loaves. And what we know from those loaves were probably this small, about the size of a quarter. And Jesus says, okay, set them down. It just seems overwhelming. The need just seems so tremendously overwhelming, and no way could it be met by human means, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Well, we'll just call up some food trucks and they'll show up. I'm telling you, with that many people, you can call up every food truck you know, and ain't gonna meet them, right? Here's the next thing I want you to see. The available resources seem limited compared to the need. Just not the needs so overwhelming, it's just like what we have to deal with it just seems insignificant. Isn't that when we panic? Like, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to be able to function? There's no way. We're just going to have to endure this. It's not going to be good. Here's the other thing I want you to see. This is what's amazing. The Lord takes the little we have and does the amazing. So what does he have them do? He says, okay, have them sit down. And this is what they did. They sat them down in groups of 100, then groups of 50. And so then he takes these loaves, these little loaves, barley loaves, and the two fishes, which, by the way, we're not talking like catfish from Denny's Pond. Okay? We're talking shiners. Minnows. Do you understand? Sardines. All right? And he takes them and he blesses them. He says a blessing over them. And then he divides it among the people so that everybody ate. Are you ready for this? Everybody ate their fill to where they were satisfied. Now, what kind of satisfied are you talking about, George? Like you eating at Thanksgiving. When you get with your family and you have a Thanksgiving meal, there's so much food, you eat so much food, and then you top it off with pecan pie or with some kind of cherry cheesecake thing and maybe some ice cream on top of it, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go watch the game. And you don't watch the game, you're snoring on the couch because you are satisfied, right? That's called being full, right? These folks were full from what? What Jesus provided. With the loaves and the two fish. That's amazing. So much so, you're like, well, is it real? So much so, look at what it says there, that they gathered 12 baskets of the broken pieces. 12 baskets of the broken pieces? They gathered leftovers. Isn't that amazing? Some of you right now, listen to me. you are wondering, how am I going to get through this? I don't have it. I don't have the resources. All I have is this, and that's not enough. I might as well just give it up. I'm telling you, God can take the little bit that we have and do the amazing. Because who's doing it? It's not you. It's Him. Isn't that amazing? But there's one other thing I want you to see here from this passage, and this is what this is all about. It's not about everybody filling their stomach and feeling good, or everybody being there with Jesus so that He can meet their needs. That's not what this is all about. That's not what Mark's wanting to do with this. What is it about? Through the miracle, Jesus revealed His true identity. Through the miracle, He reveals His true identity. What do you mean, His true identity? He reveals to them, because these are all Jews that He's feeding here, that He's the Messiah. In fact, not just the Messiah, there was another title for Him. He's the prophet. Now, what do you mean, the prophet? Well, I want you to listen to what Deuteronomy shares. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the first five books of the scripture. This is the law. Listen to what Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. When you turn there, here's what Moses writes. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Some of the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy that this prophet will do greater things than Moses. I can tell you right now, Moses never raised anybody from the dead. Moses didn't cast out demons. Moses didn't even heal the sick. But Jesus did. And yes, He provided manna from heaven. God, through the prophet, in His instructions, told them to go and pick it up. But Jesus fed. Not just once, but we're going to see twice. See, this is what it's about. It isn't even about your need. See, because sometimes our need gets so big. It's so big. It's huge in our minds. It's even bigger for some of us than our God is. But it's not about that. This isn't about your need, because your need is nothing compared to Him. It's that He reveals Himself to you, that He's your God. And you just need to give yourself and your situation to Him and trust Him. And trust Him. So let me just close with this. Where are you at today? Are you like the crowd? Only seeking Jesus because you need Jesus to, quote, meet some need? Or are you like even the disciples where, yeah, you believe Him, but man, when it comes to this situation I'm facing right now, Jesus, there's no way. I don't have it. I don't have the resources to do it. Or can we just go ahead and say, are you where you should be? Realizing who He really is. And you're just placing your life in His hands. You're trusting the one who's in control. I hope that's true. Let me pray for you. Okay.